action.
It's time for the best 60 minutes of your life. This is the Homer Hour, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studio at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee. Alongside former Packer Brian Bulaga, here's Emmy Award winner Homer.
The best 60 minutes in your day, the Brian Bulaga Homer Hour. And he's ready. He's ready, sometimes more than I'm ready to answer it. The number one question of every show when he's on. It's so important that I won't even ask him how he's doing until after he asks the question.
And I know the question and I know the answer, but I got to ask it anyway.
Yeah.
Is the Miz pitching?
He is not pitching. Even when you know the answer, you still have to ask the question because there might be people listening who don't know the answer, and there's nothing we can do, or I can't speak for Brian, there's nothing I can do as important as telling people about The Miz because, and listen closely, then I'll ask Brian how he's doing. Name the last time any Wisconsin athlete performed at the level of The Miz so far this season. Good luck, because there is no answer. No athlete in the history of the state of Wisconsin has ever performed at the level that The Miz is for the season. Now, it's not a whole season, but he's pitched enough of a whole season that I can now state no athlete in the history of the state of Wisconsin has ever performed. He is performing at a level, arguably the greatest of any pitcher in any baseball season ever, other than Pedro Martinez, whenever he was incredibly good when people were hitting home runs every second. Now, good afternoon, Brian Bulaga. How are you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm fine. All right. How do you want to respond? And I present this because I want people to work on it. I mean, I guess you could. The greatest. He's performing at a level near the greatest pitching seasons ever when factoring in the game that he's playing, how other pitchers are doing, how people are hitting. Bob Gibson had much better numbers in 1968. I'm the only one on the show now that was alive. But I could have had an ERA of 3 that year. And I think two people hit over 300, and it's nobody was hitting. So anybody, they had to lower the mound, I think, which they have mentioned. But enough. I'm asking now, Brian Bulaga, any Wisconsin athlete in his memory performing at a level which just you can't forget? Aaron Rodgers, 2011? I don't know.
Yeah, Rodgers 11 was pretty good, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
What was Rodgers? And Rodgers was pretty good in 2022, or in 2020, correct? Pretty good in 2014, I believe. I have to check all the numbers.
I will. I'm looking. The problem.
He's had a lot of really good years.
Yes, it's like, and there was this year, and then there was this year, and yeah, let's look them up.
I mean, those were impressive years, and how you correlate that to the way the Miz is pitching. And I mean, what caught my eye, obviously, the 111 mile per hour fastball. I get it, got hit out of the park, unfortunately. Obviously, a ball coming that fast, if you get a bat on it somewhat square, it's going to go far. But that caught my attention right away. I told you there was a number that when he hit a number mile per hour wise, that automatically catches your attention and goes, I have to watch this now. There's no way you can't watch it. When a guy throws a baseball 111 miles an hour, I'm not too sure how you're not completely intrigued by that, even if you dislike baseball. Even if you're not even
now,
a baseball
I
fan.
Should say that's not his throw. His throw, the best, is 105.5. That's how hard it went off the bat. I think you could have a bat. I don't know what the record is off the bat. I think you could have a bat at like 110. I don't know what the comparison is to the pitch.
Oh, then that was misleading by whatever.
Yeah, that's pathetically misleading.
That was misleading then by the thing I saw on Instagram then. That's completely misleading. Because all it said was 111 miles an hour. And it,
see, that's what you do when you have a guy like The Miz. They believe anything.
I just assumed it was him throwing the ball, not the way the ball exited off the bat. I don't really care about that. Why would you post about that? Who cares about that? I don't care how fast the ball comes off the bat. It means nothing to me. I mean, what kind of stupid stat are you throwing out
there?
Get him! It is. It's a stupid stat.
I think it was Cubs fans trolling. I think is what I saw the same thing. Cubs fans trying to get a jab in at Miz.
Oh.
I can't feel real bad because I sent a text to Jay Billis, assuming he got fired because somebody trolled me, and he goes, I haven't gotten anything. I don't know. So I can't be too critical of others making mistakes as stupid as mine was. But anyway.
Well, maybe I didn't read into it or I didn't care enough. All I saw was that mile per hour, and I thought, well, it's coming out of that guy. It's probably not a surprise to me, but I stand corrected. I correct myself. But regardless, I did see his stats from that game, and obviously it was utterly impressive what he did for his time on the mound and how many strikeouts he had and everything like that. So, but again, I don't know how you correlate that to say how impressive Aaron was in those seasons and his MVP seasons and everything that he did. So I don't know how you would compare it, but probably where I would, like if we're going to compare the most impressive in Wisconsin sports history, because I don't think anyone's going to touch Aaron's numbers in some of those seasons ever again. Like probably no one will touch the Miz's numbers again in the state of Wisconsin for a long time at least. So not sure what's more impressive.
And I mean, to be fair to Rodgers or any of them, it has to be that at the end of the season.
That's true.
And the likelihood is that he can't continue at this level. But
I mean, you don't know that, obviously.
Correct.
But his trajectory right now is ridiculous. Like it's ridiculous. I don't even really care about the rest of the regular season. I hope that it's the postseason that he's lights out, right? Like that's what you're hoping for is, you know, if he kind of, you know, I don't want to even say struggles, but say, you know, the numbers get a little bit higher in the regular season, but he's still winning games and things like that. I don't really care. It's do you, when the postseason starts, go back to continuing the same trajectory that you're on right now? And that's all that really matters, to be honest with you, especially in baseball. Like it's once you get into the postseason, how do those numbers look? And if he stays on this track in the postseason, boy, oh boy. Now that's a story.
Yeah, I agree totally, but it's like Little League. So the first guy yesterday, I think it went like 9 pitches before he struck him out. And then.
Yeah. No, it's impressive. I mean, it's utterly impressive. I get it. And again, I don't know how to compare the two. Because you could say that in some of these seasons with Aaron, it looks like he was going against college defenses. And he was just dicing them apart, and anything he wanted to do, he did it. And it looked too easy. It almost looked like the defense was telling him what they were going to do. And he took advantage of it. So I don't know the difference between what's more impressive. You know, I can't say that. I guess it's into the eye of the beholder, to be honest with you. But it's not taking anything away from either guy and what they achieved and how impressive it is. But we got to wait to see how the rest of the regular season for Miz goes. And then we can go from there. I think that's a question you would ask after his last start and how that ends.
I now want to know if this would have been accurate. I was at a place that they were having a party, and the Miz was pitching, and everybody's talking, and I said, I need the mic. Because I want to grab the mic and go, could I have your attention? The Miz is pitching. Everybody shut up. This is historic. This is like man flying to the moon. Not with a capsule, but by himself. So when he's pitching, shut up. Now, when the Brewers are at the plate, you can do whatever you want. But you have a chance to watch something you may never see again in your lifetime. Is that,
yep.
Was that too much? Should I tone that down a little? Do I need a governor on that? Maybe I don't need him to tell him to shut up or just
maybe not shut up. Maybe not, you know, tell him to shut up. Maybe just say, hey, you know, there's something historic happening on TV right now. Maybe we should pay attention. Because like you said, it may never happen again. You may never see something like this again. So we should probably tune in. Man, I mean, shut up. People may get a little sensitive to that.
Who invited you to this party?
Yes. But at the same time, it's, again, I say it with not knowing, not being the biggest baseball buff, like, it's to the eye of the beholder. Right, like what do you find more impressive, and what is the highest level of pitching or quarterback play or what's harder or whatever it may be? That's how you're going to make that judgment off the question that you asked. What do you find more difficult, and what do you, at the end of the day, it's going to be what are you more of a fan of? And that's going to be your answer.
Right. That's why I'm there to help them out, because to me, it's relative to who's the most dominant at the time they played. I mean, it's always going to be hard to beat Babe Ruth when somebody's hitting more home runs, one person, than the other team is. But you try to factor in, you know, when Aaron Rodgers' quarterback rating. The quarterback rating plus 149 and 140. Man, he's really good.
What's the best you could be? 150?
No, this one, I don't know. I have to look. This factors in, you know, what other quarterback. Like, for example, I think Bart Starr one year had even higher than that because he was throwing well and teams didn't throw as much.
Yeah, so he had the best.
So he could have had. They factor the years and what other – so, again, but, I mean, that's – it's amazing because you're with – his highest was 2011. The other one they compared to is Manning in 2024. They're saying in an era in which it is easier to pass the ball, he's still incredible. I'm sure he would tell me that if I asked, but I really can't –
He'd let you know.
Yeah. I think that's
so 149 was that his highest,
and generally 100 is average. In baseball, average. They do the same thing with ERA, and he's at like 269. So that's, but I can't figure out. It's just the dominance of it, and it's just hard to explain. Especially with Rodgers' first year was 2011. Well, he hadn't played that many years either. So he started in, was it 8, wasn't it? 8, 9, 10, 11. That was his fourth year.
Yep.
So even by then, but to be that young and you don't have to be baseball. I wanted to get sidetracked a little bit because I'm really bummed.
I heard. I got forewarned. I got forewarned.
All right. Here's the president of the Green Bay Packers. Okay. It's shareholders. I couldn't be more excited about the three men we have leading our football team. That's why we extended their contracts this offseason. First thing I want to tell everybody, anybody who believes they're playing, they're coaching, whatever, for their jobs, you're nuts. He's just told, you know. And I'm embarrassed that the president of the Green Bay Packers says that. I couldn't be more excited about the three men we have leading our football program team. Can I ask you a question? Why? I can say you like them. I don't know how you could be more excited. They have not won the division in 4 years. Explain how you're that excited. That's why we extended their contracts this offseason. Explain that to me. I will be the president of the Green Bay Packers and Brian Bulaga. I am excited about the men we have, but this is not good enough. It's not good enough for me and not good enough for them. We have won our division in 4 years. Green Bay Packers are about winning championships. Things must improve. I like them. This is not good enough and never will be good enough. So the next question is, does that mean they're waiting for their jobs? Every year, everybody's playing for their jobs. Mm-hmm. But winning the division must start to occur on a regular basis, or we should all be gone. Okay. I couldn't be more excited about the three men we have leading our football team. That's why we extended their contracts this offseason. And very important to recognize his actions. They are more important than his words. But
I think you and I both came to an agreement that we knew there was no coaching or general managing for their jobs this season. That was never going to be the case. That was never going to be the case. When you get an extension like that, you at least at the minimum you have a year and two, and then things become a little more dicey. And what are the results? I don't see any wrong in being optimistic about your guys and excited about your guys, but at the same time, you make a point like results have to be there. Like winning divisions in Green Bay is something that should be the standard. That should be
the given.
Not every year. You know, there's years that even with Aaron and McCarthy, we didn't win the division. But I mean, our biggest drought was 2 years in 17 and 18. And obviously Mike lost his job, right? Like that's the way that went. And then Matt came in and then we started winning the division again. So the standard is like, you could say all those things that he said, which is fine. No problem. Right. Like, but then you hit it. It needs to go to, but the standard is that we expect to win the division almost every year. That's the expectation here. We're not saying it's going to happen all the time. This is the NFL. Things happen within a game. Teams rise and fall within the division, right? We're seeing the rise of Chicago. We saw the rise of Detroit over the last few years. Like, we see these things. These are normal patterns that occur. But the one thing that should never change is the expectation that Green Bay is winning divisions at least once or twice out of every 5 years. That should be happening all the time, especially when you go from Brett to Aaron and now who we all believe Jordan Love is the heir apparent and he is the guy that's supposed to lead us there. When you don't have quarterback turmoil and you feel like you have great quarterbacks, you know, for the last how many years? I mean, you know, you had great quarterback play in Brett and Aaron. Jordan has shown a lot of really good things, in my opinion, that he can be on a really, really, really ascending trajectory, that he can deliver those things. But at the same time, you need to deliver those things. You can't talk about it. You can't, you know, project. It has to happen. So you can say all those things about Russ Ball and Goody and Matt, which, listen, I think the world of Matt as well, obviously. I think Matt's a very, very good football coach. I think Goody's done a lot of great things as the GM. I think he's built a really good team. I think there's a lot of really good pieces on that team. But at the end of the day, you have to win and win divisions. And that's what counts. Unfortunately, like, you know, you could say we made the playoffs as the seventh seed, but I mean, I even hate to say it. That's not good enough. Like, yeah. I get making the playoffs is good, but being the seventh seed isn't good enough. It's just not. Like, if we were the sixth seed every season in Green Bay, something's not going right. Like, it's not going right. We're not winning the division. or we're not even we're barely squeaking in. Like, I get it, we squeaked in from the Super Bowl season and then we won it, but then you always say, which I agree with, the team showed its true potential then following that, and it rode what the team actually was going to be, right? And
they proved how good they were.
Yeah. So, like, and then I don't know how many years in a row we rattled off divisions after that. I think it was quite a handful in a row there. Maybe there was a year in there that I'm missing that we didn't win one, maybe. But regardless, it was not a four-year drought. I could put it that way. And this team should not have been a four-year drought. It should have won it last year, in my opinion. So at the end of the day, it's about winning. It's about getting results. And it's about, at the start of this thing, we could talk about Super Bowls. We could talk about NFC Championship games. That's all great, right? Like, those are all great goals. But the main goal is winning your division. You need to reclaim dominance of your division. If you can't do that, it's going to be tough. It's tough sledding being the 6-7 seed. I get it happened once. It's hard to do. It's really hard to do. It's hard to go to the 1 seed and then to the 2 seed and advance. It's really difficult.
Seven seeds, I believe, are 1-9. So
yeah,
Packers do get credit for that.
Yeah, they get credit for that. Of course they get credit. I'm not taking that away. But that's not the road you want to travel.
No,
that's not the road you want to go down every single year, and you want to have games in Green Bay in January. That's what you want. And that's what these guys have to provide. Coaches, management, and most importantly, players have to deliver that. That's what the expectation should be, and that's what the standard should be.
1-800-990-3776 if you want a question for or comment for Brian Bulaga. He'd rather hear from you than me. The Carbless Talking Text Line. This is more. 1-800-990-3776. And, of course, subscribe on YouTube wherever or whenever you're listening. You're live on YouTube as well. We'll get to the questions on the chat there if there are some. People seem to be doing that. You can watch the show, see what's happening in the studio, comment along with us. Just search ESPN Milwaukee on YouTube and subscribe today. Brian Bulaga. And who we'll be talking with? We'll find out next. The Brian Bulaga Homer Hour, 1-800-990-3776. No callers yet. That means I get to keep asking the questions. This they had the shareholders meeting for all the shareholders who are stockholders. They're really not stockholder meeting. Well, I don't know. I don't lose any sleep. I don't know what would define you, but they have no power to do anything but breathe. Here is the president of the Green Bay Packers. I couldn't be more excited about the three men we have leading our football team. That's why we extended their contracts this offseason. Which means, I don't know what it means, because this is the fourth year that Jordan Love's been the quarterback. All right, what had the Packers accomplished with Aaron Rodgers as the quarterback in his first three years? He won his third year, I think, right, as a starter. But, I mean, he'd been on the team more years than that. And there's no way you could expect the next quarterback to be as good as Aaron Rodgers. But this is for Brian Bulaga. What does he like more than I do?
Well, I'll tell you. I guess you look at it from the standpoint of stability. That's one thing that, as a president of an organization, especially of an NFL team, stability is most important. And a coach that you know can win, and he has won, and he knows how to win. And he does, even though I said the 7 seed isn't good enough, he continues to get your team into the playoffs regardless. And last year, I did say that I thought they should have won the division, and I'll stand by that. But he still guided them into the playoffs, even with the array of injuries that they had to key figures and key players, which is commendable in my opinion. And they should have won the first playoff game too. That's also the other part about it that's frustrating as well, that they could have been the team that put two wins on the board for the seventh seed, which would have been, I guess, a little piece of history on its own. But to me, those would be the two things that you would be excited about, is that you keep the same stability, you keep the same structure, and you know you have a coach that has won, and not obviously the ultimate prize of a Super Bowl, but has consistently put your team in positions to get there. And then you can't get there unless you don't make the playoffs. So for me, that's why you say that. And then you look down to Goody making very, I think, smart roster moves with, you know, I would say the re-signings, the Parsons, and some of the free agents that they picked up. I think those have been good moves. We'll see how the ones pan out this year. If those pan out, then you put that right on, you know, chalk that up to another win for Goody and the free agents that he's picked up, and since he first started as a GM for the Packers. So there's things to like and things to be excited about. But at the same time, I think the caveat should have also been laid that, like, there needs to be more. And these three guys understand that. I think that should have also been tossed in there. Like, yeah, they understand the expectation. They understand the standard. And it's the same standard that every fan or shareholder in that stadium has. It's guys that played for the team and understood what the standard was, and should still be. That's a no-brainer in Green Bay. That's what it should be. It's win your division, try to win a Super Bowl. If you fail on the Super Bowl, we always looked at it as a failed season. And that's just the way it goes. I mean, we had a lot of great seasons, but they ended up being failures because you don't lift the Lombardi at the end of it. You don't play the season to lose in the NFC Championship game or the divisional round. You know, that's not what you're there for. You're there to get to the final prize. So if your goal is the final prize, not every organization says that's their goal, but it's not their goal. And we all know that.
Well, his goal. Can't be. It's not. He'd like it. This is my favorite thing. He'd like it, but not that badly. I could explain why you gave him an extension. I don't want to be president. I just want to speak as the president. Look it. This is thing. The number one, this is not good enough. I gave them extensions because I believe they will do better. They've been good. It's not good enough. I don't give them an extension based on what they've done. I give them an extension on what they've done and what I believe they will do. And what I believe they will do is better, because this is not good enough. I know it and they know it.
Yeah.
That's why he's given them the extension. Then he can, explain. Why he believes they will do better. But that's the reality of it. It better be. It has to. Well, we know that it is.
Yes. Yes. That's definitely, I mean, yes. That the expectation is that it
just doesn't want to say it that way because I don't know.
He should. I don't know either, because maybe the shareholders meeting is a little more of a feel good session. You announce record revenue. You announce all these things.
They're not going to sell naming rights to Lambeau Field.
Yeah, no, I mean.
Not yet.
Not yet. But it should never happen.
Yeah, but if you're in a situation in the NFL where you have a built-in limitation, however, compared to other teams because of who they can sell the team to what? I don't know the finances of it, these rich companies, whatever. Hey, I'll make it real simple. If you got to give naming rights to keep the team in Green Bay, it's going to take me a half of 1 second to decide about naming rights.
Well, what, I mean, I guess my whole thing too is like there's a lot of other things you can name. They have every gate name.
I would name everything before Lambo. Yes, everything.
Yes. I mean, everything would have a name prior to, and I wouldn't, it wouldn't change at Lambo. I wouldn't change Lambo. It would be, I don't know, Culver's at Lambeau Field or something. I don't know what you would, I don't know how you would word it, but you Lambeau Field can't go away.
Passive private equity stakes is what they're saying. Oh, are there people okay. that, so then, and but I don't care how, I just care that there's no competitive advantage because of that. That whatever restrictions, right, that they put on how much money a team can spend,
I don't think that's a thing though, is it?
It isn't yet, I don't think. I mean, I think they're I don't know, but that's what you decide, right? Look, we have to have everybody gets this amount of money to spend. So who cares if the team makes 8 gazillions and the Packers only make 2?
Yeah, I mean I think the biggest thing is when you sign players, do you have enough money to put into escrow to get for the guaranteed contract
right.
portion?
Yeah.
And Green Bay clearly structures their contracts, as we've seen over these last guys, where they just – it's the signing bonus. So they cover that no problem in their vault of money. And when you have record revenues, which was – what was it? $435 million or something like that?
Something like that. I agree with you on that.
Yeah, it was something like that. It was crazy. That's just the check they get stroked from the NFL, correct? That's not even tickets. Right. That's not even a Miller Lite. That's not even a hot dog. That's not even a jersey sold in the pro shop. It's none of that, right? That's just
I don't understand it. I just know it doesn't change until someone says that other teams have an advantage because of this.
Yeah.
And then I will go to you and say, okay, is that an advantage? And if it is, then the Packers have to do whatever is necessary to get rid of that advantage.
Yeah. I mean, I think you look at it, as long as Green Bay is able to make signings like they did with Micah Parsons and give him the money that they gave him and give the money that they gave Jordan Love, what's the advantage or disadvantage, so to speak? Sorry. What's the disadvantage they're at? If you could still hand out those contracts, you're doing fine, in my opinion, right? You're able to handle, their financial responsibility of guaranteeing money and putting it in escrow and doing what's required of NFL teams when they do contracts and all that. And Green Bay structures theirs where I don't think that they pay as severe a price as some of these other teams do when they do that, right? I think we see how they structure contracts.
But I want to always know, Brian, that that's by choice. That's not by necessity. If it's by necessity, then there's a problem, or there's a problem that the Packers have to try to address.
It's been the way they've done business for God knows how long, right? I mean, guys' contracts were that way when I got there. It might have been that way years before those guys got. I don't know how they. You'd have to ask Ron Wolf how he did it, right? Like, I don't know how Ron Wolf did contracts.
Did you ever have any situation, not just somebody on the team, but I said, well, I'm not going to sign with Green Bay because they can only do this because they're Green Bay. I've never heard that, ever.
Nope.
Okay.
Never heard that.
I don't want to live in Green Bay because the team stinks. But that was before you were bored.
Yeah, that was before I knew the Green Bay Packers. So that would be the only thing, because I think as people start to play in Green Bay and they have friends that are on the team, they start to be like, being in Green Bay is really not that bad. It's really a great place to be. And then if they're going to pay you similar money or close money to what other franchises are doing, what's the downside? There is no downside. It's all up, because the facilities and everything like that in Green Bay is A+. It's A tier. There's no negatives about that. So I don't think they're at a disadvantage. And if there is a point in time, then we could have that discussion.
Yes.
And we could have that discussion, and we could brainstorm, which I'm sure the board would be brainstorming what they're going to do, but it starts with every Oneida gate and every Fleet Farm gate.
Bulaga gate?
Yeah, every gate now goes up another $20 million a year.
Yeah.
And if local businesses don't want to do, well, we know that Oneida will always do it. The casinos will always do it. Then you start going corporate and going out of state and finding hedge funds and people like that that will do it. And they will do it. They have no problem doing it. They love it.
Yeah, and that if it comes to that, and that'll be a credit of the Packers and how they've handled things and how good they've been. Milwaukee weight loss was at 229. Now I'm at 206. I can be whatever I want. Milwaukee weight loss. I didn't believe there was a weight loss program like this because what is it? I eat less and I'm happy less and I can do it now and forever. And that's right, forever. And there's no but you have to take the pill. Nope. But you have to work out. Nope. I don't even have to walk. But I have to take prepackaged meals. Nope. Bars, shakes. No. Drugs. No. Surgery. No. Injections. No. Milwaukee weight loss. $200 off with the Milwaukee Weight Loss Summer Special. Book your free consultation. Ask them specifics. Well, how does Homer do it? How do I do it? What do I now at MilwaukeeWeightLoss.com? That's MilwaukeeWeightLoss.com. Results may vary, but my analysis is simple. It's a weight loss program forever. I will never, and I look forward to keep telling you that in 3 minutes, six, have to worry about my weight not being what I want it to be. I can eat less. And I'm okay with it. I can also eat more a little bit if I want. Why? Because the next day or two, I can eat less and even it out. Milwaukee Weight Loss. Again, $200 off. MilwaukeeWeightLoss.com. Next. The Brian Bulaga Homer Hour, founded by inventors, fueled by community, and focused on business. For 130 years, Horicon Bank has been helping businesses across Wisconsin grow through commercial lending. Remember that. Now that same local approach is here to serve the greater Milwaukee business community. Been many, many, many places around the state in commercial lending. Never Milwaukee till now. Financing requests approved in days, not weeks. Bankers who understand your business. Products designed to support your cash flow. Because when it comes to commercial lending, Horicon Bank gets the job done. Visit Horicon Bank in New Berlin, Tulsa, Menominee Falls, Grafton, or West Bend. Horicon Bank, together doing good for 130 years. Member FDIC. The Brian Bulaga Homer Hour, and again, you can hear the quotes from the president of the Green Bay Packers. I don't know that his name is important because he's president of the Green Bay Packers. President of the Green Bay Packers. What's your name? I don't know. Doesn't matter. President of the Green Bay Packers. Just like I would say if I was the a member of the Packers. What's your name? Starting left tackle. What do you mean? I'm the left tackle. Left tackle for the Green Bay Packers. That's how you should know me now. Maybe sometime later. Is there a greater quarterback for the Green Bay Packers? Starting right tackle for the Green Bay Packers. I'd probably rather have said starting left tackle, but I don't know. Doesn't it feel good, I'm assuming, to say that? Isn't there there's got to be an incredible sense of pride, not only the ability, but also the Packers carry something. They just do.
Well, yeah, I mean, being a starter for that franchise carries a little more weight than being a starter, we'll just say, for
Tennessee Titans. Come on.
Or the Browns or someone like that. It just carries a little more weight because of the success of the franchise and how they've been as a franchise over the last how many years. But I will say, guys normally don't – I mean, if a guy went around and said, I'm the starting – left tackle for the Green Bay Packers, I mean, you'd look at him and go, shut up. Like, you're an idiot. Like, just be quiet. Like, say, no. Like, you're that's not what, it's normally not the way that goes. That's a fine. That's definitely a belligerent fine in the O-line room if you did that.
All right, but if somebody asked me about him, and I'm not him, starting left tackle for the Green Bay Packers. Next question.
But you well, don't. I mean, I guess other people, but
yeah, not the person. All right,
not the person. That's it's a little bit too full of yourself.
A little, so to speak. No, not a little bit. You think it's like way too full of yourself. Yeah. That's you would say if somebody did that, you bring them and say, "Excuse me, that's not how it rolls in Green Bay."
right?
That's a yes. It'd be very, very close to that. Yes, maybe a little more direct as well. Not the way we carry ourselves up north. We'll put it that way.
No, I think there's. I mean, Cleveland Browns used to be the same. It's before your time. That's what's sad about the Browns. They were like the Packers. Now, not the same because of the Green Bay, but there was they were the pride in a class of the NFL long ago. 1-800-990-3776. Not that you call today, but you'll have it for future reference so that you can call Brian Belaga because he'd rather talk to you. Our Discount Liquor Twitter poll question, and I put this up because I might have said yes before, but I'm not anymore. Will the Packers win a Super Bowl in the next 3 years? No.
What's your reasoning?
The president does not have a standard high enough to push it, and it's that hard.
Well, it is hard. There's no doubt. I guess... So if he would have had different verbiage today, you would have that answer would have stayed as a yes.
Yes, yes, it would have, because I also factor in the good people you're against. I mean, he can't say that. I mean, it's just like the Brewers having arguably the best time ever. The Brewers, but the problem is the Dodgers. They got all the money and they got smarts too. So the problem, as we've alluded to talking about division. The coaching in the division across the board might be as good as it's ever been. And so things are harder. So you got to be even better. And his standard's just not high enough.
Well, then you factor in what's going on in the NFC West and how those teams are building.
Dodgers. And see, come on. They're what the Packers used to be. Remember, you would say this, but you couldn't say it. All the other teams talking then going, damn. Packers ever going to not be the team we look up to or look at as realizing every year they were a player to win a Super Bowl? Not how many years of that? That was a given. Yeah. Now it's the Packers looking, and they may not say it, but we are fairly. Look at Seattle. Look at the Rams. It gets frustrating. And you, I'm sure, as a player, loved it.
Yeah, I mean, you knew you had a bullseye every year. Hey, there's no doubt.
But you were good enough to handle it and take it on every year, right? Yeah. You never flinched once about, let's go.
No, you understood what was coming to you, what every team was going to try to do, and you were circled on every calendar, and you were going to get every team's best shot, regardless if they were the worst team in the league or one of the better teams in the league. You're gonna get the best shot. And you just have to understand that, and it's up to you to mentally prepare for that and be ready to kind of squash that fire.
Because you knew how good you were. This wasn't like just, ego. This was like, fine, let's go. You knew what you had, and you had seen it and proved it, and there's nothing better than feeling like, dude, we're putting a whooping on you. It's not ego. It's just the respect and the team and the players and let's go. We know we don't win them all. Maybe we should have won more, but we're there. You got to come through us. Nobody's coming through Green Bay anymore.
Yeah, I mean, it was always the expectation that.
So why isn't the president of the Packers talking like we are?
Well, and that's where I agree with you. I mean, that's what I'm saying. I agree with your stance on that. Is that that standard needs to be back to where it was and that expectation. And I know the fans felt that way for the longest time, right? Like that was the expectation of winning the division. Like they laughed at Lions
fans. And it wasn't because you were a Packer fan and Packer fans think that way. Every fan thinks that way when they can.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. I mean, you look at the Patriots fans for all those years. I mean, that's just the way that they operated, right? Like, that's the way they are. I mean, they had a right to because they won everything. And then you look at a different sport, say the Bulls, when Jordan was there. I was a Bulls fan. You just, I mean, like, we're going to be there. It's not worried about it. Like,
you would have taken 4 out of 6 or 5 out of 6, probably 3 out of 6. But every year, We're there.
Yes. The playoffs, we'll see you.
We'll see what happens.
Yeah, we'll see you there.
After five, you knew you were getting six.
Yeah, I mean, especially when it was, you heard all the rumblings, what was going on there, and how, and then obviously The Last Dance came out and everyone figured out what was going on there. But the rumblings were in Chicago that something that wasn't good.
And in all my time in sports, it's the stupidest thing a team has ever done. Not letting them keep playing until they lost. No one could ever explain that.
No, you literally can't. You pay the money what each guy costs.
Until they lose.
Until they don't win. Yeah, yes. Exactly. Until
if they got don't second, win. People might be upset. What, you're changing up all that they got second? Well, then we can have a debate. But I know. Getting rid of Lombardi.
Yeah.
Before exactly. The last season. That's it. You're going to have another team to do the last one. We'll close it out next. The Brian Bulaga Homer Hour finishes, and we didn't talk about it because I think it's the most insignificant thing in the world, and that is pup list for the start of training camp, right? Means nothing. You can show up the next day, right?
Means nothing.
And you'll let us know when anybody on the pup list means something.
Correct. Yes. And what time that is as well. If they have not been removed off of it or if they're still on it, things like that. But to start it, though, means absolutely nothing.
I think we can finish on that.
Yep.
Next. Fix the car.